1420 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. It was a stunning end to a case that could have sent actor Alec Baldwin to prison for 18 months.
Your motion to dismiss with prejudice is granted.
Actor Alec Baldwin wept as a judge tossed out his case days after the trial started. She agreed with defense attorneys who claimed the prosecution withheld evidence.
They have continued to fail to disclose critical evidence to the defendant.
The evidence was bullets possibly tied to the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of Baldwin's movie Rust. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
The case cannot be refiled against Baldwin. President Biden was back on the campaign trail in Michigan Friday, rallying a boisterous crowd in Detroit. But back in Washington, talk about his abilities continues.
Michael Tyler with the Biden campaign acknowledges the president had some missteps.
Joe Biden has been making gaffes for 40 years. He made a couple. He'll probably continue to do so. Our opponent is somebody who every single day out on the stump is calling for a bloodbath if he loses, who's pledging to rule as a dictator on day one.
Michigan Representative Debbie Dingell decried.
Why don't people look at Donald Trump's rants? The things that he says in these rants are absolutely crazy.
Well, Tyler put it this way.
Two-thirds of voters more concerned about a president who lies than one who is old.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is pressing his case for U.S. support as his country fights the Russian invasion.
This is a war where it's absolutely clear what is good and what boundaries evil crosses.
Zelensky spoke in Salt Lake City at the summer meeting of the National Governors Association. The Texas man accused of killing a Houston area sheriff's deputy is now charged with capital murder.
24 hours after the blue alert was issued, authorities say 44-year-old Ronald Palmer Jr. was found and taken into custody without incident at a home in northeast Houston. He faces capital murder charges for what Harris County Sheriff Ed Gonzalez described as the ambush of Deputy Fernando Esqueda, a five-year veteran of the force.
Fernando would be very proud at this moment, because he was such a cop. He loved good police work.
Escada was gunned down tracking Palmer, who was accused of pistol whipping a restaurant employee for getting his order wrong. Chris Fox, 4CBS News, Austin.
U.S. Navy fighter pilots came home to Virginia yesterday after months of shooting down Houthi-launched missiles and drones off the coast of Yemen. It's the most intense running sea battle the naval facilities have faced since World War II. F-18 Super Hornets swooped over waiting families before landing at Virginia Beach. Dressed in green flight suits, the aviators embraced women in summer dresses and kids carrying American flags. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Kitchen's Open on WFHR, a feature within the morning show every Monday at 9. Join me, Melissa Kay, and my guests to learn about food-related topics that will interest and entertain.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People have been seeing the stars at the historic Yerkes Observatory near Lake Geneva for 125 years. Now, it's taking on a whole new meaning. Mark Richardson explains.
After the University of Chicago transferred ownership to the Yerkes Future Foundation in 2020, the venue added poet laureates, Grammy winners, NASA sculptors, Pulitzer Prize-winning authors, and composers and artists to the astronomy program. Walt Chaddick, Yerkes Director of Programs, says people are just beginning to get used to the transition.
Yes, we are doing classic observing. Yes, we're doing research. Yes, we have interns and astrophysicists and astrophotographers on staff. We were kind of become this peculiar center that is connecting astronomy to art.
Located just outside of Milwaukee, the observatory has been in use since 1887 and has been used over the years by astronomers, astrophysicists, and other scientists to explore the cosmos. The grounds include the observatory, laboratories, workshops, and libraries, with walking trails around the grounds' 50-acre site. Chaddick says artists have tapped the center's collection of 175,000 photographic glass plates with images of the cosmos.
I've seen people go up to those photographs and go, ugh, modern art. And then they start to read the captions next to the pieces, and they go, whoa, that's a constellation I know.
The observatory has been used by famous scientists such as Albert Michelson, Edwin Hubble, Carl Sagan, and Albert Einstein. The observatory is open to the public Thursdays through Mondays for tours and exhibits. Visiting the grounds is free. Reservations for tours and special events can be made online at yerkesobservatory.org. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy, warm, and muggy tonight with a low in the low 60s. For the weekend, partly sunny, a few storms, some could be strong, hot and humid with highs upper 80s to 90. After another warm day Monday and a chance of storms, temperatures cool considerably, 70s for highs for the rest of next week. Currently at 64
Jane
degrees.
Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Republican National Convention gets underway. We talked to Greg Treverton from National Security Leaders for America about the ramifications of a possible Trump second term.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Friday, TGIF, the 12th of July, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite and a great day to find us in Wisconsin Media Row. We are in Milwaukee, in my opinion, a fabulous city here for the 2024 Republican National Convention, which starts officially on Monday, and Civic Media will be here. I'll be anchoring our evening wrap-ups from 7 till 8, along with Civic Media's news director, Terry Bell, who will join me here on location a little bit later this weekend. And, of course, all of our Civic Media news teams will be spread out across this great city of Milwaukee to bring you a flavor, a sense of what's going on here as we get ready to host Milwaukee does this 2024 National Convention. Mr. Zommers, we'll keep an eye out. I know our co-host for the week, Trigvi Olson, is playing. He talked about this yesterday in a charity golf event up at River Falls today. So if he has signal on hole 7, we may hear from him a little bit later. So we'll keep a watch out on the phone lines and the stream yards, so he may join us. But we appreciate Trigvi being with us all this week, either live in person like we were at River Falls. I mean, what a great day yesterday. 50th anniversary of River Falls Days. They have that big parade going on up there tonight at 6 p.m. So if you're up in the area, check it out. Going to be a little warm, but otherwise it should be absolutely great weather. So looking at, again, thanks to everybody in River Falls. And before we go any further, quite frankly, thank you for my family production crew, my sister and brother-in-law, Heather and Mike. Really appreciate you. We drove pretty much overnight. Yes. We drove pretty much overnight to get from River Falls down to Milwaukee, went through security, the Secret Service clearances, and thanks to the great Teamsters who unloaded and all of our equipment here in the booth. And we appreciate it as a team effort to get this broadcast on today. We appreciate all of you. And really, this all starts with the person here joining me live at the desk here in Milwaukee, this great setup from Wisconsin Media Row. He is Matt DeFore. He is the State Bureau Chief at Wisconsin Watch. Matt, welcome to the broadcast, and thank you for being the instigator to put all this together.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, this is awesome. It's great to see it come to life.
It really is, and I know this is something that you have worked on a lot. But first of all, just for people who, I know you've been on the show before, people who might not be familiar with Wisconsin Watch and what you do, explain to people what Wisconsin Watch is and your role there.
Wisconsin Watch is the state's premier investigative, nonprofit, nonpartisan, I'll say investigative again. We do big, deep dive pieces on government and communities of interest in our state, trying to find the truth in all things. It's a good segue because you might be wondering, well, what the heck are you doing at the Republican National Convention?
Right.
Exactly right. Tell me, you and I have known each other since you were the reporter, capital reporter at the Wisconsin State Journal, and I in another life was working for a politician at the state capitol. And just been somebody that I've always respected when I was working in politics and you were a reporter. You were tough, but you were always fair, and you always had kind of, I think, that sense that you wanted to keep on digging. So I think that this investigative role for you as the state bureau chief at Wisconsin Watches is right up your alley, and Civic Media is proud to kind of partner on bringing some of your stories to another platform in terms of different media, radio or digital.
Yeah, and so, you know, I've always been an investigative reporter. This is actually going to be my third Republican National Convention, going back to 2004. I love politics. I love political investigative reporting. Is actually it's a difficult thing to do because so many political reporters are beholden to keeping their contacts safe with these powerful people.
Yeah.
And if you dig too deep, you get smacked or shocked or something.
Right.
So, you know, I've always felt that it's important to have independent investigative reporters who can still dig into these big political stories.
So we have about 24 local media. We say local. We're talking about Wisconsin media organizations here participating in this media role, Let's go back and talk a little bit about how this all came to be, starting back in 2019 when you were still at the State Journal. You're the state editor there for the Wisconsin State Journal, and you went to the Democratic National Convention or were getting ready for the one that was supposed to be here in Milwaukee. Then COVID hit.
Right. So this idea, you know, if people, again, we're nonpartisan. We're not here because it's the RNC. We're here because it's Wisconsin, because they are coming to our state. And so we believe Wisconsin should have a front row seat at the Republican National Convention. And the Democrats were working with us initially in 2019, but then COVID hit, like you mentioned. And so it didn't happen then. But Republicans are just as eager to win over voters in this great swing state of ours. And so I went to from Wisconsin State Journal, where it was a little bit more obvious why I would be coordinating stuff on behalf of Wisconsin media, because I was a political editor. But at Wisconsin Watch, again, we're not doing day-to-day politics coverage. We're doing a little bit more of that than we used to. But the idea back last fall, as I went to the first RNC sort of planning event, was, you know, I raised my hand at the Q&A and I asked, well, are you guys making any accommodations for local media? And at the time, they kind of had a puzzled look on their face, like, no, like, what are you talking about? And I think that's because it's never been done before.
Yeah.
This is the first time that a national convention has said, we're going to have some space carved out for local state-based media. And Wisconsin has a great media core. I mean, I'm just looking around here. I'm seeing signs from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin State Journal, the Cap Times, Milwaukee Business Journal. Wispolitics is going to be here. We have Wisconsin Public Radio. We have a great local media scene here in Wisconsin, and I really felt like it deserved the kind of attention. These events, people may not realize, cost tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars for the national media to come in, kind of swoop in and cover them. But people here in Wisconsin want to know what's going on in their backyard. And so we have coordinated 25 news outlets in Wisconsin to have our own space to make sure we kind of feel like we're getting that front row seat.
I think it's fantastic. And look, people listen to this show regularly know I'm a former Republican. I left the party in 2011 because it just no longer represented my views. But I'll give them credit on this. They were open to your idea, and Republicans rarely waste an opportunity to get into the media. And I think that the fact that they were willing to take your idea and say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and set up this space, what it does, in my opinion, say your own, but in my opinion, it gives these local news places. I mean, we're literally just on the other side of the curtain from places like Newsmax, which, I mean, that ain't my cup of tea, but it's a national news organization, whether you want to admit it or not. We're not quite next to CNN and ABC. They're over in Fiserv Forum. We're here across the street at Panther. But, I mean, you put us on the same platform, and we're going to have, you know, Republicans going through. I'm not going to interview all of them, but we're here, and we're getting the flavor, and we can tell people, here's what we're seeing and hearing.
To be fair, NPR is also over in the Panther Arena, and a lot of outlets, not just Newsmax.
Well, I just chose that because that's what people are going to roll with. Everybody's heard of that. A lot of people
there
have.
There you go. You know. Okay. But anyway, we are. I think we're in a really great place. You know, what I thought of is, you know, I've been to a couple conventions now. This is, like I said, my third. when you go to these conventions, there are a ton of media from all over the world at mm-hmm. these conventions. And they what they do is, like, the Associated Press, the CNN, the Washington Post, New York Times, they set up almost like these little villages where there's more than 100, you know, New York Times reporters right. coming, and they will be in this sort of cloistered area where it's almost like a little mini newsroom they set up for themselves. Right. They have access to internet, they have access to electricity, they have access to podcast studios and broadcast sets. And so what I wanted was for our local media to be able to scale up, because that costs, again, it's tens of, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Individual outlets like the State Journal don't have that kind of money to
what Civic Media.
Right. So what we end up getting left with are the breadcrumbs of scraping out a little space in a desk somewhere, much further away from the main event, with no branding, no sense of being included. And so what I hope this becomes a model for is for other conventions. If you go to any state national convention, I'm talking to you folks.
Right. Yeah.
Democrats, Republicans, libertarians even, whatever. When you go to another state for these conventions, you should look to the local media to be able to tell your story. You're probably going to that state because it's a swing state and because you really want the voters there to get your story. And so we are demanding that in Wisconsin. We got it, and I think other states should follow suit.
Well, I think it's a brilliant idea. I thank you for your efforts, and it means a lot to us to be here. I mean, people watch on the stream. You can watch on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And, of course, we stream it on the Civic Media app. But it gives us a cool visual. It makes us look really legit, and we're here with everybody else. I mean, on the way here, a couple blocks away, I mean, there's literally a building with all the signage that says The Daily Show. You know, I mean, those people are spending, probably, hundreds of thousands of dollars to rent out entire buildings and build a set here for the week.
To the credit of the RNC, you go and look at the main marquee here outside the building here, and it says Wisconsin Media Row. So they did a fantastic job. Reagan with the RNC did a fantastic job with the branding and making sure that it wasn't just kind of a throwaway thing. This is pretty legit.
It's super legit. I mean, people watch it on the stream. I mean, it looks as cool as some of the bigger platform things that you're going to see. So I thank you for that. A couple minutes left. You can choose which one. In your previous appearances at national conventions in 2004, you met Stephen Colbert, who was then at The Daily Show. And you're right. There was an article that you wrote for Wisconsin Watch and said he did okay. And then you met Jordan Klepper, who had just started his show at The Daily Show. Didn't turn out so well. Tell us a story about meeting one of those guys.
Jordan's doing just fine, I think, at The Daily Show. But so in 2004, a friend of mine was doing a documentary about the protests. That was the big story of 2004, if you remember, is that in New York City, the Republicans came and they had basically street protests with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Yeah. And so she was doing a documentary about just the protests, and she came across Stephen Colbert doing a bit for The Daily Show. This was in the year before he left to go to start the Colbert Report, and she approached him and said, "Hey, I'm a Northwestern student doing a documentary protest," and he starts singing the Northwestern fight song.
Wow!
And she's like, "Oh, of course, you're a Northwestern alum." She's like, "Can I interview you for this documentary?" And he says, "I'd love to do it, but I can't right now. I'm working. But give me the exchange contact information." She didn't hear from him. As she's on the plane to leave New York, she calls me and says, "I just heard back from Stephen Colbert, but I'm not there." And the cameraman is, but he is terrified of talking to Stephen Colbert. So she asked me, I was there as an intern for the Associated Press through my grad program at Medill, and she said, "Can you do this interview with Colbert?"
Wow.
And I was like, "What time?" Like, yeah. I kind of cleared my schedule. I was like, "That's awesome." I went to The Daily Show studios. I get there, and my cameraman's just kind of, he's there, he's excited. Yeah. And Stephen Colbert comes out onto, like, the balcony overseeing, like, where people are waiting in line. And he's like, "Hey, Matt, you ready to go?" He's like, "One second, Stephen."
Oh, can you come? Yeah, have you got, like, 5 more minutes?
Yeah, I'd finish the story when we come back.
All right, sounds good. See, there is a cliffhanger. That's how you do it. Come on back. We'll talk more with Matt DeFore here on Wisconsin Row here at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. You're listening to a special edition live on location of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of it, my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep
going. Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
you
nice.
Are one master whacker. I'll tell you
thanks.
That.
That's wow. That's unbelievable.
Really impressive.
You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, live on location from Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Panther Arena, home of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee Panther men's and women's basketball team. We are talking here on Wisconsin Media Row to the guy who literally had the idea to set this all up, and we thank him, Matt DeFore. He is the State Bureau Chief at Wisconsin Watch. And Matt, you were talking about this is not your first rodeo. You started out as a younger reporter at these other conventions, and it was at 04 where another person was supposed to interview Stephen Colbert, and she's on a plane out of town. She calls you and asks you to do it.
Yeah, I got to do that. And just as background, too, I was an intern for the Associated Press, and what I basically amounted to was I wore like a three-piece suit and tie and was emptying trash cans. That was my experience.
That's internships, right?
So I've come a long way.
You've come a long way, my friend. Yeah.
But not to be daunted by my low status there. I got a chance to do this interview with Stephen Colbert for a documentary in his office. It was just a surreal experience. You go in, and his like he had a wall of just like Lord of the Rings memorabilia and dolls and toys and things. Oh. I remember he was during the interview playing with this a cave troll like figurine I was like, is this gonna mess up with or is this gonna be delightful?
Right.
It was a good interview. My big thing was that I was like, ask him all these tough questions because I'm this budding journalist, right? And so I ask him, like, you know, what is a protest? And he gives an answer. And I was like, well, what is The Daily Show? I was asking him, like, is The Daily Show a form of protest?
Oh.
And he kind of said no at first. He was kind of like, no, not really. And then I was like, what was a protest? And he gave me an answer. And the answer was basically like, you know, there's a performance element to it. There's a political message to it. There's a going against the grain. And by the end of the interview, after I'd asked him all these questions, I basically came back to that first question about, is The Daily Show a form of protest? And he was like, The Daily Show is a passive-aggressive form of protest. And I was like, yeah!
That's great.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
And then months later, I saw the documentary finally came out, and they didn't include any of that. So.
No. it ended up on the floor? I mean, good God.
There was some Colbert in there, but it was not my triumphant question. So I've now publicly shared it now. So.
But that's a great story because, I mean, it speaks to your investigative side when you're able to talk to people. I've seen you do it with my former bosses. I think what makes, and you to give your opinion, what I think one of the great, great things about what makes a good reporter is someone who can't or doesn't just stick to questions, but gets their subject to just start talking in a conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the failings sometimes when you see these press conferences. I saw it all the time in state government. Mm-hmm. I thought last night's press conference with Joe Biden was a lot of good questions. I think a lot of the questions people had in their minds were asked, but there is not that attempt to really peel him away from talking points. It's hard. It's hard to do it, especially when you got other reporters kind of coming in with like foreign policy questions to kind of make it seem like you've asked too many of the really interesting political questions. And that happened all the time in when I was covering Scott Walker, for example. You'd want to like dig in with a question that gets him away from a talking point. And other reporters don't have the time for it. They just want to know the top line. They want to know what it's almost like they just need to figure out what the talking point is, and that's their story for the day.
Do you think that that is propelled in part because of the changing dynamics, particularly of print, but all media, where there is fewer staff,
more stress to get a deadline, to get a story out, to get it published, and so that they literally sometimes don't have time to dig in.
Yeah, you don't have time, but you also have the pressure. As much we talk about like the decline of media and especially the decline of newspapers, I mean, there are a lot of media out there. There's a lot of reporters, and they all have
witness in the other room here.
What I think is unfortunate is that they're often all going for the same story. They're not trying to like. It's not like you have like the environmental reporter and the health reporter and the foreign policy reporter all asking their different categorical questions. Last night at the Joe Biden press conference, you had most reporters they're asking about his political future and doing different variations of the same theme. Mm-hmm. It's like you can't go wide enough and you can't go deep enough. So our media has become really shallow.
You posed an interesting question before we went on the air today. We were talking about my show in particular, and you're saying you asked, do you consider yourself, a journalist? And I said, I went to University of Wisconsin Platteville Communication School. I have a broadcasting background. I took journalism classes, but Platteville doesn't have a J school per se, like Madison or Northwestern. So I said, no. I've been transparent on this show with our listeners and viewers, saying that I'm a news analyst opinion show, talk show, but I apply journalistic standards to my show. Do you think that other people, just viewers in general, look at everyone here assembled, including everybody in Wisconsin Media Row, all as journalists today?
I think a lot of people don't distinguish. They don't do the intellectual exercise to distinguish, because there are people who are citing opinion journalists as journalists or as news. They're, you can read, even if it's credible and well thought out, like a Wall Street Journal opinion piece, it still usually has some kind of a political, ideological bent. They're trying to do something with your opinions rather than trying to present facts. But I'll have to admit that, like, even at Wisconsin Watch, when we're presenting facts, we're not just doing it in a vacuum. We're trying to get to a truth.
Yeah.
What we just do is we don't do it in service of one side or the other. We're not trying to help the Republicans or help or hurt the Democrats or either side. We want to know what the truth is. And so if that's the lens that journalists take more often, I think that would be a good thing.
As we wrap up here, a couple more minutes left. At the end of next week, a week from today, and you look back on, in terms of this convention with Wisconsin Media Row, what will you determine to be a success?
I think it's just to make sure that people had a good time, good access. Everyone sort of comes in with a mission. Hopefully everyone does. I'm assuming people come in with some kind of goal, that they are able to achieve that goal. And I'm actually most concerned about making sure Wisconsin Watch meets our goals, because we do have some things we're going to try to do here. Some things for the very first time. We're going to be doing video for the first time. We're trying to launch an audio video component to our what we offer. In fact, we're trying to offer some audio stuff I think Civic Media is interested in using as well, for some of our fact briefs. So yeah, I think as long as people who come here get out of it what they're hoping for is great.
Well, we're going to be here all next week. Terry Bell, our news director at Civic Media, and I are going to have a wrap-up show from 7 to 8. Other people joining us. If you want to stop by sometime next week, Matt, we'd love to have you.
All right. Thanks very much for
you. Hey, thank you, Matt. And thank you in all sincerity on behalf of all of us at Civic Media, really all of us in Wisconsin Media, for having this idea and shepherding it through. I understand what it's like trying to work with politicians and political people on the other side. It's not always easy, but you stuck to it. And it's going to get really exciting around here really soon to watch all these people come in, all from Wisconsin, and here to cover it for all of our listeners and viewers. So thank you so much for everything.
Always a pleasure.
Hey, really, always a pleasure to have you on the show. The State Bureau Chief of Wisconsin Watch, Matt DeFore, and looking forward to a great next few days here. And a little bit later on the show, we're going to have Peter Rapine on the second hour at 1:30. With wacky headlines, Matt. Actual things that actual humans do. Not satire, not The Onion, not made up, but just weird and wacky human behavior. How about that?
I'll tune in.
There's nothing better, right, than humans just doing stupid things.
Absolutely.
And I have a feeling here at the RNC, we might get a couple of headlines out of it as the days progress. So he's going to be here in hour two. We have heard from Trigvi Olsen, and he is raising money for charity on the golf links, the golf courses up at River Falls. So he will not be able to join us live, but he sends his regards, and he'll be here on Monday to join us, along with a cast of characters and thousands. Stay tuned. We're going to come back to Wisconsin Media Row, live from Milwaukee at the 2024 Republican National Convention on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, I'm ready, well, I'll float. down.
All right.
Don't you worry, we're all flown on.
All right.
Flown on.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The New Mexico judge in the involuntary manslaughter trial of Alex Baldwin has dismissed the charges, saying prosecutors deliberately withheld evidence. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson tells us it cannot be retried.
This case is over for Alec Baldwin, and it's over because the prosecutors didn't play by the rules.
President Biden is working to regain lost ground in battleground states, appearing at a rally in Detroit, Michigan last evening.
I promise you, I give you my word as a Biden, I'll always have your back because you've always had mine.
Biden insists he will stay in the race. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky appealed to the nation's governors to continue U.S. support for his country under attack from Russia.
To save our freedom and thus the common human understanding that evil must always, always lose.
Zelensky spoke before the governors in Salt Lake City. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Brewers upset by the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers losing to the Washington Nationals last night, 5-2 to AmFam Field in Milwaukee. The Nationals able to snap a five-game losing streak. Brewers right-hander Freddie Peralta struggled, giving up 4 runs on 10 hits through 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy after the loss.
I mean, I think Freddie made a few mistakes, but I thought generally he threw the ball good. And, you know, they just lost 5 in a row, so they're kind of hungry to win, and they put some balls in play. And, yeah, and their starter did a nice job to keep us at bay.
The Nationals' Jackson Rutledge held Milwaukee to just 3 hits on 2 walks over 4 2/3 innings in his first ever major league start. A familiar face, Jesse Winker, who struggled last year with the Brewers, crushed a home run 403 feet right center field, his 11th home run of the year. He also drove in a run with an RBI double. Elsewhere, the Cubs beat the Cardinals 5-1 in St. Louis. Chicago's now won 5 in a row. The Reds got past the Marlins 7-4. Pirates over the White Sox 4-1. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s, some scattered thunderstorms possible. Showers and thunderstorms tonight, lows in the mid to upper 60s. 89 our high for Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a scattered storm possible. For Monday, scattered storms in 87.
Right now, it's 62.
The morning show on WFHR. It's delicious.
Peanut butter and jelly should be squidgy.
Oh, I know a lot of people. Yeah.
On good squidgy white bread.
Yeah.
It's the way it's got to be.
My sister felt the same way. It's got to be. The middle, especially for her, had to be just a mush.
You guys, as fascinating as this conversation is, one very big thing you just missed there. Melissa just said the word squidgy on the air.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, what the what?
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR. HR.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens Before you leave the car, always stop. Look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Teach Schwaba. Monday night, we will stream live on Facebook, X, and YouTube from 7 to 8 p.m. during the RNC and be back on the air live from 8 to 9 p.m., where we welcome the master of radio magic, Gizmo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Town Hall Ball Show, live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on Wisconsin Media Row, site of next week's Republican National Convention here in the beautiful city of Milwaukee. We are joined by an actual journalist here at the table here on site. Just people walking by, saying hello to friendly faces. We have Zach Schultz. He is Wisconsin Public Television's senior political reporter for the great program Here and Now. Zach, thanks for taking a moment to sit down here at the desk and chat a little bit.
Well, thank you. I was just coming by to say hi to an old friend, and all of a sudden I'm on the set.
Well, it's super that you took time to do this, and we just got done talking to Matt DeFore from Wisconsin Watch, who was kind of the instigator, the person that propelled this Wisconsin Media Row, the first time that we're aware of in any national convention where the state journalists have a place set aside for them. I know Wisconsin Public Television, because you're a bigger operation than places like us. You're down on kind of the main floor here and have a bigger booth.
Yes, when we heard that this was being created, the first thing we did was say, we need a little larger space. We will want to be there. We would love to be with all the other state media operations, because we feel we are part of all of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have the same mission. We want to speak with the same people coming by. And they said, what you're asking for is a little too large. So we're down on the main floor. We've got a nice setup. We're actually setting it up as we speak right now. Yeah. I'm useless in that capacity, so I was able to kind of wander around and ran into you. Yeah. But I wanted to check out the space, since this is something that we've known about for a while, and I wanted to see how it came to life.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, and I just think it's really cool that, you know, Wisconsin journalists and people like myself, who I apply journalistic ethics to my show, but I'm a news talk opinion type of show. But I think it's great that people, you know, national delegates or whomever can say, hey, if I want to talk directly to people in Wisconsin, there is a general area to do that in.
Yes. And I think, to me, the most exciting thing about this is it made the space affordable for the smaller outlets. Yes. Because I started in commercial television. I started in Wausau. So I know what the budgets are like there. And I know how difficult it would be for them to come and bring this to their audience if it wasn't for a space that was subsidized and made affordable for them to put people here when they're working on a much different budget than some of the other operations that are on the floor. You know, we're with all the national outlets down there in a different league when it comes to that.
No, it's super cool to have everybody here. I've never been, of course, in a former life being working in politics. I was at a number of state conventions, but never been to a national convention. Have you been to national conventions before?
I was in Tampa Bay in 2012.
Okay.
When Paul Ryan got added to the ticket at the last minute, they said, oh, we're going. And when I say last minute, I mean, our hotel was practically in the ocean. I mean, we were so far away. They were gracious enough to say, you're from Wisconsin, and right, we understand why you're coming in at the last minute. So they gave us credentials. It was an amazing experience. It was a complete lifetime in terms of how we did our jobs then. Mm. Everything was on tape. We actually had to FedEx the tape back to Wisconsin.
Wow.
So we could make our show on Friday. Wow. But just the experience of running around, yeah, and there are all the people. And what was amazing about it was, you know, there's Tommy Thompson. Hey, he said, oh, I know you. You're from Wisconsin. Yeah, I'll give you 5 minutes. I mean, you couldn't go anywhere without people saying Wisconsin was the center of the political universe at that time. And it was, we want to talk to anyone from Wisconsin.
So give us a sense. We're talking to Zach Schultz. He's a Wisconsin Public Television senior political reporter for Here and Now. Of course, Federica Freiberg, long outstanding anchor of that program. On Here and Now, as you come here to Milwaukee to cover this convention, what is the lens you're going to try to bring this event to your viewers through?
Well, our mission is we cover the state. Even though we are based out of Madison, since the day I was hired, they said, if all your stories come from a backyard, you're gone. Like, you have to be out and about. And so from the beginning, we've been thinking, what do people in Eau Claire, La Crosse, Superior, Green Bay, what are they going to want to hear from Milwaukee? People that maybe only have one impression of Milwaukee beyond the Brewers or the lakefront, mm-hmm. what do they want to know what's happening in the state's largest city? So our mission has been to do that. And we're actually going to have reporters outstate to bring the story of what is it like for the convention to be in Milwaukee when you're not from there.
Yeah.
Does it feel the same? Do you take civic pride in that, or is it more of a, at least I don't have to deal with that traffic?
Right.
So we're going to have multiple reporters in Milwaukee all week long. We're going to be doing half hour long live new live casts on the web with a couple of guests, and we're going to be doing some cut-ins for the PBS News Hour throughout the evening. We have an hour long show set for Friday instead of our normal half hour. We give permission to expand it because there's so much news to fit into that. Right. But part of that is to think beyond just downtown Milwaukee.
I think that's a great, and it's not dissimilar to, we kind of did reverse. So we did all of our shows this week. We started out New Glarus at Bailey's Run Winery, and then we went to Wisconsin Dells and featured the Ducks, and we went up to Eau Claire and covered our Chippewa Falls, the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, and yesterday we were at River Falls at the 50th annual anniversary of River Falls Days, and just talking to people, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday on the show. It is a different feel. You know, I spent a little time in D.C., Milwaukee. I live in Madison. I think they're great cities of Wisconsin, part of what makes Wisconsin great. But you get out from those kind of more neutral or centralized places, and there's an entirely different vibe. I'm not saying that people have completely different ideologies, but I think there's a different focus. And for me, it just feels, I don't know, I feel re-energized when I go out and talk to people. What do you feel when you travel around the state?
Yeah, politics hits in a different way. It is local first. They separate federal from local yeah. all the time. And you know this from your past, and I know that from stories I've done on that, where people split their tickets, and then why do they split their tickets? Yeah. What does that mean? And they talk about their local officials as a neighbor. Literally someone who came to the door that they've known from Little League or the grocery store. And that's completely different from someone like Tammy Baldwin, Eric Hovde, Tommy Thompson, or someone that they really only see through their screens or in commercials. So it does hit different, and it has a different sense, where sometimes the confusion comes in, they don't understand the difference between how a federal policy differs from a state policy and how that affects them in their hometown. Mm-hmm. And there can be frustration. I mean, some of the stories we've reported on over the last year have had to deal with things like school referenda and how that's been impacted by policy decisions at the state level or at the federal level of whether the money flows down through. And so some people are having to decide between funding EMS and funding their schools, and they're making choices without really understanding that their votes in a state election impact those down the line. So a lot of those, some of those conversations come out, and sometimes it's just you want to listen to people without trying to teach. I mean, right. I'm open to answering a lot of questions, but sometimes people just feel the need to vent. If they hear you're from Madison, right. I'm sure you know this too. They just want to have yep. someone hear what they have to say, and sometimes that's my job, is just to listen.
I'll just touch on one specific topic. You hit on education, and that's something that Trigvi Olson and I, as we traveled around the state this week and in former state tours we've done, there's so many folks in our state that feel their public schools are their community. It's where they go for their local sports, their music, their art, their band, these are the communities of our state. And I really feel that there is a disconnect between some, not all, but some politicians in Madison and what the rest of the state views are public schools. Have you found a similar type of in your reporting of people caring about their public schools?
Absolutely. And that is, I think the hardest thing is trying to translate votes at one level to votes and the impact on one level, because there are, part of the stories that I did last fall had to do with, or last spring had to do with some of these referendums that were going on everywhere. And there were people that were represented by Republicans on joint finance who make those important spending decisions about how much money flows down to the local schools, who will vote for those politicians and then be frustrated when that doesn't lead to more money for their community yeah. schools. Because when those politicians show up at the school events, they say, I love public schools. I support everyone here. I hope we do well. And it's getting people to understand, well, those votes are connected. Like, you have a right as a voter who supports a public school in a local environment to ask your state representative, well, why doesn't that translate in your vote? And those are kind of the things that we're trying to educate people on, so that that disconnect disappears and they understand how they are empowered at a local level to impact more broadly than just a referendum.
Yeah. Talking to Zach Schultz from Wisconsin Public Television. He's the senior political reporter for Here and Now. This was just literally, I saw Zach, we said hi, I said, you want to hop on the air? So if you don't want to go down this road, I totally understand. I'll just say it's something that I, for my show and also Civic Media at large, we've talked about internally. how we cover this, because this is a unique event. We have a unique nominee, a convicted felon, someone who it was proven in the January 6th bipartisan committee helped to attempt an insurrection. I come here as a former Republican who went to a lot of state conventions, and you do the story about, oh, the woman who's been to 5 conventions and she wears the elephant pants, and oh, isn't that cute? To me, that just doesn't feel like that's the story here. To me, we had somebody who was trying to peddle today, wanted someone to come on the show, somebody who said that they were an attorney, who wanted to prove that the January 6th people who have been convicted and are in jail are there illegally. That's just simply not a true story. That is a false story. Have you guys at Wisconsin Public Television and Here and Now talked about how you cover this event?
Yes. A lot of the conversations that we've had center around figuring out our own duty to our viewers. And we monitor what's happening at the federal level and the national level with political pundits, and they have a job. It's they have a different audience. They have a different responsibility. We don't feel obliged to do it in the same way. A lot of the dialogue that's happened in the last few weeks following the big debate has centered on things that we really haven't covered as much at the Here and Now level, because we're saying, well, if people want that discourse, they can find it elsewhere.
Right.
We have a different responsibility to bring that forth. Sure. Part of that comes with figuring out how we want to cover this convention is looking at how does Donald Trump affect who comes to the convention? Mm-hmm. Are there people like Dean Coffert, who is an old school, moderate, centrist Republican,
well,
was basically kind of pushed out of the state party, was elected mayor in the city of Neenah, and now he's possibly coming back into the state party. I'm hoping people like that show up. We've heard that Robin Voss apparently is going to get a ticket to be able to come in.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that one. There you go.
Not as an official delegate, but he'll have the ability to at least come into the ground. So I'm hoping he comes by here and he's able to talk to everyone, because he is someone that obviously has a tremendous amount of power in Wisconsin state politics. He has a connection with Donald Trump. He has changed his position multiple times on what he thinks about him, and I want to hear from him. What does it feel like to have this convention in Milwaukee? Part of the story we also want to look at is there are so many people around the state, Democrats and Republicans, who have desperately wanted to show off the state and the city to the country as we're big time. Yes. We can do this. Yes. We can host it. We deserve to be on this stage and can throw a great party. What is their reaction to having it be this candidate, this convention coming to town at this time? Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're watching is the protests. What happens? Right. Who shows up? Is there a U-Haul that shows up with a different kind of protest march? And we're going to have to address what does it mean that that is here in Milwaukee, and how does that interact with law enforcement, with other protesters, with the convention goers? And I don't think it'll have the same feel as it did in Tampa in 2012, where it was looking at, wow, isn't Wisconsin big time? We have all these big name politicians who are on the national stage. That was a different era in politics entirely, which I'm sure you could attest to.
You're absolutely right. I think that one of the other things is all this is very fluid, and I know that Wisconsin Public Television, like Civic, or not dissimilar to Civic Media, we try to look at things through the lens of Wisconsin, and how does this affect Wisconsinites, and how might it in the future. But you look what's happening in the national stage here. We're at a national convention. Trump is going to announce his VP supposedly here in Milwaukee. You could, keyword could, we'll see how this all plays out, you could potentially have the Democratic nominee and sitting president announce he's either going to step down from the ticket, or all this is swirling at the same time. It's part of the excitement of why I love being in the news business and the media business, but it makes it very difficult sometimes to plan how you're going to cover all this.
Yes, we had big convention plans for 2020,
right,
when this was supposed to be the Democratic National Convention. Those obviously got scrapped. I didn't put away any of those story ideas. I kept them in a file on my computer, and I was happy to bring them back to life and see what still had legs in 2024. So when I say I've been planning for these kind of stories for 4 or 5 years, it's not an exaggeration. But at the same time, I know some of them that I've been working on for years could get scrapped at the last minute because something else comes up that is just monumentally bigger. And at the same time as that, all of those big stories will be covered by all the national outlets. So any one of our viewers that is going to watch the NewsHour, if they care that much, they're going to be watching the convention. They'll get everything they need from that panel. So that's not necessarily our first responsibility. Our responsibility, well, what does that mean for Milwaukee? What does that mean for Wisconsin? What does that mean for the Wisconsin GOP or the Democratic Party of Wisconsin? And looking at it through that filter to remember who our audience is.
Yeah. Zach Schultz, he is the senior political reporter for Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now. Zach, thank you so much for taking the time just on the spur of the moment. And I really hope that listeners and viewers of our show, look, Wisconsin Public Television is viewer-supported by and large. Go support them, because what you guys do, you and Federica, the entire team at Here and Now, is so important. I've seen it myself sitting there when I brought my bosses in for interviews. You have a great team there. You do great work, and it's really important work, the messages you bring to people in Wisconsin.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure. Zach Schultz from Wisconsin Public Television. Catch him all next week here in Milwaukee. Catch us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We are live on location in Milwaukee at Wisconsin Media Row's Republican National Convention. It's the title Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Okay, life insurance. The question I get the most is, do I really need it? Now, if you've got kids or a spouse or a loved one who depends on you, then yes, I've got two steps to help you get one. Step one, multiply your annual income by 20. This is how you estimate how much money you want the policy to be worth. It's called the coverage. It's how much money your loved ones get in case the unthinkable happens. Step two, look into a 20-year term policy for that amount. Term is just insurance lingo for a simple form of insurance. It covers you for a set rate of time, a term. The average cost of a 20-year term policy for most folks is between $26 and $30 a month. That's it, two steps to get you going. And then, if the unexpected happens, your loved ones can have some money to support them. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are, as a matter of fact, in Milwaukee, the great city here, largest city, of course, in the state of Wisconsin. We are in Wisconsin's Media Row, getting set for the 2024 Republican National Convention. We thank Matt DeFour of the Wisconsin Watch and also Zach Schultz of Wisconsin Public Television's Here and Now. I really appreciate them stopping by and really on the spur of the moment here, because both of them have been around a long time in Wisconsin media. Both of them know this state really, really well. And I hope it gave you just a little bit of a flavor from a journalism standpoint. Both of those guys are true journalists, how they're looking at this. And, you know, I don't think it's just over the top to say that there is a bit of trepidation here. From all journalists and all media, thinking, you know, we hope this is a safe event. We hope that things go smoothly. And we certainly wouldn't want anything, you know, tragic to happen. And hopefully it won't. But these are things that you also have to make contingency plans for and to know about anyway. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to call and be part of the show, I'd like to go to the phone lines. And Jack from Merrimack, Jack is joining us. Jack, thanks for calling in and listening. We always appreciate it. What have you got to say?
Well, first thing I think of is this convention is going to be full of crooks and liars. That's my opinion for what it's worth. But I think we can objectively say it's being led by a convicted criminal who's adjudicated rapist, defamer, financial fraudster, and who probably should have been sentenced a few days ago. It was only saved by our corrupt Supreme Court. The other people that are coming here are people who apparently are perfectly okay with backing an attempted violent overthrow of a government. No doubt they will attempt to distance themselves from Project 2025, which is basically a blueprint for fascist-style authoritarian police state takeover of America. These guys, why Milwaukee wanted a convention, I can kind of understand that, but with these people, I am sorry. And by the way, I really, really like the work that you do, and I certainly will continue listening to you, but probably not this week, because I don't want to hear anything that's going to come out of that convention.
Well, I think that, Jack, and hang on for a second. Don't hang up, because I want your opinion on this. I think you bring up, I know you bring up a really important point that I've thought about a lot, and we talked about this at Civic Media. You know, there were questions about, should I even come here? Should we even do this show for all the reasons that you listed? I won't go through them again. But here's my point, and you give me your opinion on it. I know you'll be honest. I think it's important for our listeners and viewers for me to be here inside the convention hall so that I can report to you. You know, are people as crazy in the hallways when they're not on camera as they are when they are on camera? Are these all true believers? You know, what are people, what's the flavor here? Are they all drinking the Kool-Aid of Donald Trump and following the 34-time convicted felon and all the things you said? Or do they appear, you know, more reasonable off camera? And if so, why are they still following this person? Are there any more moderate Republicans left? I think those are all important things to bring to our listening audience. Do you agree, Jack, or disagree?
No, I wouldn't disagree with you on that. I understand your position and Civic Media's position. But I would really hope that Civic Media and any other of the legitimate media, and we're not talking about your friends at Newsmax that you mentioned earlier. But
they're not my friends. I just mentioned they were here on the floor. Go ahead.
The legitimate media need to absolutely do one thing, and that is they have to have real-time fact check on these people. I'm tired of being bombarded with lies, misinformation, and misdirection propaganda that is basically totally inaccurate. And what happened during the debate, absolutely no objections to it. That's just perfectly fine. Just keep spouting what you're spouting, and we'll just accept it. No, that's not acceptable to me.
I totally agree with you, Jack, and that's why I'm trying to be as diligent as I can. I'm not interested in having anybody sit in this seat next to me at our broadcast table and just give them a microphone for 5 or 10 minutes and talk lies. You know, I'm trying to make it more about the flavor of what's here and bring that to our listeners across Wisconsin. And we're also next week going to be reporting, talking to some of the national reporters here. And we're also going to be talking, hopefully, to some Republicans who aren't here and ask them why they're not here. And I think it's important to bring that story as well. So I think it's a really great call, Jack. And you bring up some excellent points. And that's why, you know, I'm going to ask you and the rest of our audience who is going to listen next week, you know, keep me honest here, because I don't want this to be a platform to just spread, you know, lies and mistruths. I want it to, as we say, pursue the truth wherever it may lead. It's led us to Milwaukee as we've been around the state all week. So great call, Jack. Really, really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And also to Zach Schultz's point as well, we're also going to try to bring you just some of the stories and the flavor of Milwaukee, because part of having national conventions, whatever party it is to give the people, the businesses, the city of Milwaukee a national platform to try and talk about, you know, actually what is going on. Matt, listening in on WMDX in Middleton, Wisconsin, says, quote, "I find the calm and complacent nature or style of reporting by our media and journalists is why we're in in this, I think. Their manner and attitude doesn't show the severity of the situation to the uninformed or uneducated, unquote. Matt, thank you so much for your text there from Middleton. That's another great point. And I know some of my colleagues, you know, we've been traveling around the state this week. We've touched on it a little bit. Some of my other colleagues, in particular, Jay Matinair, Greg Bach of Matinair On Air, Pat Kreitlow, have been talking a lot about Project 2025. We're going to talk about more of that as we go through next week as well. And again, try to hold people accountable. From my standpoint, I think that I try to present it in a way that, you know, dole it out in digestible pieces and try not to, because
you're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee along with Trigby Olson. You don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.